morning, friends and brethren. It's so very good to see you. We have a good number here of our own and several visitors, too. We're glad that you are here. And glad you are here, especially this weekend, as we have tried to focus some special lessons on the home. And in this hour, we are kind of continuing some thoughts again on the home. We're flipping the coin over, so to speak, and looking at the other side of the relationship, of the parent-child relationship. In the last hour, we considered a parent's obligation to their children. But in this hour, we're looking more at the child's obligation to the parents, to honor your father and mother. There is, on one hand, a way that seems an easy way to just settle this. We would just say, well, just honor your father and mother, as if that's just all there is to be done. But sometimes it's a little more difficult than that. There could be some very honest questions that come up, like, well, what does it mean to honor? Or, what if my parents are not Christians? How do I honor them? Or, what if my parents did not honor me? And these are all issues that, well, make it a little bit more complicated. But it doesn't really change the command. It doesn't really change what God has said to us and what he has told us to do. And so let's just think about it, and let's just consider, what is the understanding that God wants us to have about honoring our father and our mother? Well, we need to understand that it is a requirement from God to show or to demonstrate honor to our parents. It is a divine relationship, that of parents to children. It's a relationship that is created by God. With it comes the command that is very simple, as we have said, honor your father and your mother. It's in Exodus chapter 20 that we would read that as the fifth of the 10 commandments that are given there. God certainly placed some emphasis on what it would be and what it means to honor a father and mother. In fact, it's in that same text, if you look with me at Exodus chapter 20, that after giving those 10 commandments, and after saying, honor your father and mother, then it's a little bit later in that text, Exodus 20. And let's see, chapter 21, verse 15, or 12, where it says, anyone who strikes a man and kills him shall surely be put to death. Oh, we're into some very serious repercussions here of our actions. 13, however, if he does not do it intentionally, but God lets it happen, he is free to flee to a place that I will designate. But if a man schemes and kills another man deliberately, take him away from my altar and put him to death. What is that to do with the father or parent and child relationship? Well, nothing really, other than to demonstrate that God is very serious about what our actions should be. Verse 15. Anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be put to death. God is serious about these things. Verse 17, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Now, we're just trying to make some points here about honor of your father and your mother. God is very serious about that, just like he is about other actions that we might be involved in. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, if you look there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18, beginning, here's something else that Moses records. If a man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, or who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of this city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Again, I just want to make the point. God took the matter seriously, that children are to obey and honor their parents. And sometimes when we think about children, honor your father and your mother, we're thinking about little children. And certainly there's application to be made there, because that's where training begins, that's where it takes place. But in the text that we're looking at here, we're not talking about a small child. We're talking about someone who's an adult already, but is not giving the respect to parents that God would expect them to do. To honor parents is not a suggestion from God, but it's a command. And we cannot take it too lightly. Now, this word honor carries with it the idea of considering one with respect or esteem. Honor is demonstrated by the respect that we give, the reverence and the kindness that we show, the courtesy due to one who, as some would explain it, one the courtesy due to one possessing a higher worth or rank. And so that helps us to see and understand when we consider our parents, we need to hold them up in such a way that we esteem them. Well, Jesus understood the seriousness of the matter because he knew that there was a need of giving honor to parents. In fact, Jesus was the perfect example of what it means to show honor and respect. If we go to the book of Luke and the second chapter, you may remember the story here as it unfolds about Jesus and his parents going to the city of Jerusalem because it was the time of the year for the Passover. Jesus was 12 years old, and according to the custom of the feast, they indeed went to Jerusalem and partook of that feast. When it was time to go home, Joseph and Mary had traveled a day's journey with others, I'm sure that they were with, and realized that Jesus wasn't with them. And so they returned back to Jerusalem and spent 3 days searching for him before he was found in the temple. And of course, he was there. He was studying and he was teaching there. But what was his response when his parents came to them? They were distraught, I am sure. And Mary said in verse 48, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." We can only imagine how Joseph and Mary felt, relieved, and maybe on one hand were they even angry. "Jesus, how could you have done this to us?" Jesus responds in a very simple way, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they did not understand that the statement which he spoke to them. But verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all of these things in her heart." Here's just a glimpse of Jesus in his youth. There's not too many passages we can turn to that help us to see Jesus when he was a young boy. But what kind of stands out to me in this is that when his parents came to him, though it would seem to me that he was much more inclined to stay at the temple and to be studying and to be teaching, when his parents came to him, he went with them. There was no record of an argument that was made. There was no what ifs. But that he went with them, and as the text says, that he was subject to them. Some versions might say he was submissive to them and he was obedient today. Many young people, in fact, probably all of us can think in our youth of times where we thought we knew more than our parents did. And in this case, Jesus truly did know more than his parents did. He did have an understanding of a bigger picture of things that they could not yet understand. But yet, he was obedient to them. In doing so, he gave them. There's something to be considered with that. I mean, in a day when we struggle to find good role models for our children, let's not forget that Jesus is a role model and that he set even a perfect example for children, that he listened. He did not argue back. He did not talk back. And he obeyed. Even at his death. Several years later, as it's recorded in John's account, John chapter 19, several years later, Jesus, of course, is an adult. He's 33 years old. When he was on the cross, when he was suffering in pain and agony, he saw his mother close by. John chapter 19, verse 25, beginning. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his home. It's always stood out to me and been somewhat amazing to me that while on the cross and the pain and the suffering that he endured there, when he saw his mother out there and even seeing the agony that she was suffering as she sees her son on the cross, that his thoughts went to her and he spoke out to John, we would believe that disciple that he loved, and said to John, "Take care of my mother." And was giving honor to her at that time. He was still thinking about her and making provision for her keeping. And so we have a glimpse then of Jesus when he was a child. We have a glimpse when Jesus was an adult, in each case giving honor to his parents. The idea of honoring parents is not just for five-year-olds. I mean, sometimes we are apt to teach our children, as we should, honor your father and your mother. But it goes beyond childhood. That indeed, it's the teaching that takes place when they are young that will help them understand and respond when they are older. But there's a lot said in Scripture about those who are older giving respect and honor and esteem to our parents. And failure to honor is just not an option. There is no age restriction attached to this commandment. Scripture does not say to honor our parents until we turn 18, or until we get a real job, or we get married, or we move away. Sometimes young people, as they are growing into adulthood, come to a point where they think they're grown up old enough now to make their own decisions, and perhaps they are, and they should. Maybe it is time to move away. But that does not change the relationship with regard to the need of giving honor and esteem to parents. But we go back to the Old Testament again, to the book of Leviticus. Would you look with me, Leviticus chapter 19. Here again, something that Moses records to us by the will and the word of God. Leviticus chapter 19, we begin reading at verse 1. Think about what the Lord says. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.'" The text goes on, even as it was speaking before this excerpt right here, about the way that they should live and respond before God, about the things that he would want them to do as far as being servants of God. But it just stands out to me in this text, when it is God speaking to Moses and is trying to encourage the children of Israel to be a holy people. Because indeed, if they were to be the followers of God, they had to be holy because he is holy. And they would need to observe the things that God has given them to observe, like remembering the Sabbaths, remembering that he is the Lord their God. And sandwiched right in the middle of there, how does this fit in? Respect your mother and father. Isn't that interesting? Each one is to respect his mother and father. And here in this text, the Lord is speaking to all the congregation. He's not speaking to just children. He's speaking to those who are adults, those who could understand the need of being holy as he is holy. And yet he commanded them here to be wise spiritually, be holy, to observe the Sabbath, remember that I am the Lord your God, and says as well, each one is to respect his father and his mother. Why did God command this, especially at this time? Well, for one thing, he's teaching them to be spiritual people, and part of being the spiritual people that God wanted them to be is they needed to esteem their parents. And I would have to think that part of the reason he said it is because some were not. They needed to be told these things. Sometimes adults are those who need the reminder to honor our parents the most. Jesus had to deal with some who were neglecting their parents. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In the text, Jesus is dealing with some of the Jewish leaders who Well, they thought they were quite religious, but Jesus is making the point to them as the text goes on that they were giving a lot of lip service, but their heart was far from him. But in the early part of this text, in Matthew 15, beginning verse 3, here's how Jesus responded to them. He says, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or his mother, whatever you might have profited by me is a gift, and does not honor his father or his mother, he will be free.' Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions." I've struggled for a while to understand the real purpose of the text right here and what's being said. Jesus is certainly referring to what is recorded in the Old Testament, the commandment of God to honor your father and your mother. And even the text that we read, that if one curses his father or mother, he should be put to death. He's speaking to those who knew the law, and he's saying to them, you know what the law says, but you have ignored the law. Here's your way of getting around it. And Jesus says to them, "Whoever of you is saying to your father and mother, 'What you might have received from me, I've given instead as a gift to the Lord,' as though that excuses them from their responsibility to their parents." Jesus is saying, No, it doesn't. You have made some pretense. It's a pretense because he calls them hypocrites. They have made some pretense that now they're giving something to the Lord, and now it depletes their resources where they cannot take care of their parents, but they're excused because they have given to the Lord. Jesus is saying, no, you're not excused. You know the law. You know the repercussions of not obeying the law. Hypocrites is what you are. And so the point we have to pull from this is that, you see, there were some who were neglecting their parents. When the Lord spoke to Moses long before, he said some things because undoubtedly there were some neglecting their parents. And it's a generational thing that seemingly it goes on and on. But the point here is that there is no excuse for their actions. And the Lord said so. Failure to honor our parents is not an option. Several years later, the Apostle Paul is dealing with an issue as well. Look with me, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And just trying to take a couple of points out of the text. There's much more in the text we could see, but for the purpose of this study, just looking at a couple of verses here. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 4, he says, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable to God." If I'm understanding it, what the apostle is saying is that when there is one, a woman who's become a widow, and she has children, that they need to be responsible to take care of her. And he goes on to say, help them to learn to show piety, learn to show respect at home, learn to repay their parents. This is what is good and acceptable to God. In verse 8, he says a little more. He says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of the household of faith, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Again, the point can be made, failure to care for parents is a major problem, not just in our culture today. It was in the day of the Apostle Paul. It was in the day of the Lord. And in the day of Moses and the children of Israel long before. It's been dealt with a number of times. What should we learn from this? We need to be ready to give honor and esteem to our parents with our sustenance in life, with what we have to give and to care for them, and to honor them with our life. I'm not getting the impression here that we can just pay our way into a state of honor. That we could just roll money their way and take care of them monetarily, which might be a true need. And now all of a sudden our responsibilities are fulfilled. that seems to fall a little short on the idea of honor and esteem and reverence to be given. It may be that the greatest respect and honor we can give our parents would be our time. We need to be able to care. We need to be ready and prepared, willing to care for them if there's monetary needs and we have to give, and with our time. There are several of you that I have, as I've become more acquainted with you, that I've been encouraged and impressed with the fact that you have, in the past, you have cared for your parents when they were in need or are currently doing so. We have several in that case, in that situation right now. And you inspire us by your example, by a godly attitude of showing that honor and respect to parents that needs to be given. And the love that you are showing truly demonstrates honor. It's not just talk about it, but you are showing it. You are demonstrating honor and respect, the kind that God expects us to give. And so there are still questions that might be asked, and just for us to think about. How do we teach our children the importance of this command of God to respect and to honor your father and mother? Well, I don't know, on one hand, as though it should be so hard to teach, and perhaps on the other hand, there is some difficulties in teaching. I want to think about some things, even some things that Brent discussed or covered in the first hour. That when our children are small, if we make it a point to teach them, if we make it our purpose to teach them what it is to know God, and to obey Him and to submit ourselves to Him, to honor Him, they will learn a great deal about giving honor to mother and father. Of necessity, that's going to mean that they have to see in us the love and the respect and the honor that we have for the Heavenly Father. And if they fail to see that in us, they are missing an incredible lesson on what it is to show honor and respect. They need to see first in us the love and the respect that we have for God Almighty. Children will struggle to find the respect for the parent when the parent has not demonstrated that love of God. This is true. This is where true honor is demonstrated and taught, is in our relationship with God. When they see in us a dedication to His honor, well, then they may also learn from us in how we deal with and how we relate to our own parents, in our willingness to see to their needs, our willingness to honor them. And I want to say something with this. I know that sometimes it's hard to honor parents. I've heard from a number of folks who have grown up in a home situation that has not been so pleasant. Maybe a home relationship that has not been godly. Maybe parents that have shown the children little respect and maybe even given only a little love. I understand that makes this requirement more difficult. I can see that. And I can understand it can change the dynamics of what can be done and how we may show respect to our parents, but it does not change the command of God. That in some way, somehow, we have got to be able to demonstrate honor and respect to them. But I want to go beyond this evening. And again, trying to deal with the question that I've heard it asked before, how do we teach our children to honor us when we are old? We first have to teach them to honor us when they're young. We have to teach our children that we are the mother and father, and they are our children, and that we brought them into the world, and that we are trying to teach and to nurture and to train them in such a way that they can become godly people as they grow and mature. And we have to set some rules and some lines with regard to respect. Friends, we are just not doing our children a favor when we allow them to be disrespectful to us. In our time and in our society, we see this so much more, and it makes my stomach sick. To be somewhere in public and to see children that are just acting out and disobedient to their parents, and their parents seemingly are just putting their hands up in the air, they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to respond to the children. And the children are showing zero respect to the parents. Brethren, we can't even get to that point. At a young age, we have to start putting in place an understanding that they will show us respect, and that they will give us honor. And if we allow a pattern to be established where they are allowed to talk back to us or to argue with us, or to challenge things that we say, if we allow them to disobey when we tell them things that they must do, if we do not correct immediately, we are allowing them to dishonor us. We can't even let that start. We'll be tested, because this is what children do. They have to learn. But we have to teach. And we have to be ready and willing to teach our children when they are small that they will not dishonor us. And when our children, husbands, fathers, when our children speak in an ugly way to their mother and we are there, we should be the first ones that speak up and say, "You will not talk to your mother that way." And mothers, when you hear the children speak in a disparaging way about their father or in anger about their father, you can't allow it. You cannot allow it. It has to be stopped immediately. This is not the way you speak about your father. And I think sometimes even in Christian homes we struggle with some things like this, because there are so many influences in the world that take us in that direction. Our oldest daughter, Stacy, recently, I heard her saying something about a TV show or a little movie that sometimes they let the kids watch. They don't watch much TV, I'll tell you that. I don't know, they don't watch any TV, but sometimes they have some movies. There's this little kids movie, I don't know what it was called, that somehow in there had the kids kind of arguing with the parents. Isn't that something, how that stuff just kind of sneaks in there? And it was kind of caught when Kinley had said something in response to Stacy it wasn't just ugly or anything, but it just wasn't appropriate. "Kinley, you cannot talk to me that way." And the source of that was that little kids movie that they had. Whew, out the door that went. But you see, isn't that something? I mean, here was something that they thought was benign. It was something that they thought was okay to bring into the home. And yet even here, it was bringing challenges to the idea of children learning to respect and honor their parents. We're talking about a three-year-old. Parents, we need to be on top of this. If we let precedents like that be set, if we let our children talk back, if we let them argue with us, we are setting a precedence, and there is a failure to honor. No, I'm not saying there's not time for discussion. Let's sit down and talk. I'm not saying that. But a return in a sharp tone that is challenging our authority. No. That's. Can you imagine Jesus responding to the Father? "No. You can't tell me to do that." Or, "No, I don't want to do that right now." Can you even for a moment imagine Jesus responding that way? No. Why would we allow that in our homes? If we teach our children when they are young what it is to obey us, as they get older, they will understand so much more about being obedient to the Lord. And as time goes on, and if we live long enough to where we are in a point of needing more help from our children, and if we live long enough, that time can come, there'll be a little question in their mind as to what they should do. And they will give honor and esteem because we've taught that. I'm sure there's more that can be said about these things. But just trying to give us some things to think about with regard to the idea of a child's obligation to the parents to honor your father and mother. It's something that's very real and something that we should not think of just in terms of how a 3 or 4 year old should act at home. But about our teenagers and about our young adults and about our children that are married and grown and have moved away. That respect and honor is still needed. God said so. And even as we get older and our hair is turning gray and we have parents that are elderly, the responsibility to give them honor has not changed. But it may be our greatest test of giving them the honor that they deserve. I hope it's been helpful. It could be even today that there's someone who needs to respond to the gospel of Christ. Jesus is still calling, still hoping that those who believe in him would be willing to act upon their faith, and repent of their sins and confess his name and be baptized for remission of sins. If you're a child of God who has struggled in sin, he's still pleading with you to repent and to return to him. Could we help you in some way to respond to the Lord as we stand?